Okay, perfect. So good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for the Magnolia Public Schools Special Board Meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, I do have two reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you are a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If you do not feel comfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, to the members of our board and staff, please state your name before speaking. With that, we're going to begin today's meeting. The day is February 1st, 2021, and the time is 7:03 a.m. Rabbi Belek, may you please call the meeting to order?
Good morning, everyone. Glad to welcome you bright and early this morning. I think there's some sun out already. And welcome you to our board meeting, which we're going to do quickly today.
Thank you, Rabbi Belek. With that, I'm going to record attendance. Rabbi Belek?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpino? Dr. Dickbush?
Here.
Good morning. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Good morning. Ms. Gonzalez? Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. And Mr. Yapano just joined. Dr. Yapano, can you hear us?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank
you. Good morning. We're just taking attendance, so I'll record you as attendant or as here. So with that, we've reached quorum to begin today's meeting. With that, I'm going to move on to the approval of the agenda.
Wait, Jennifer, did you do the rabbi? I didn't hear the rabbi.
I did in the beginning.
Oh, yes. I missed it. Okay, thank you.
I'm here.
So with that, we're going to move to the approval of the agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move this motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Belek. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Belek?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpano?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias? Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Perfect. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to the, my apologies, we're not scrolling down. For the public comments, just a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive any public comments form for this meeting. However, if you are a member of the public and you wish to give a comment, please unmute yourself. If there's no public comments, we'll move on with the next item in the agenda, starting with the action items with 2A, approval of revised health and safety policy for COVID-19 and approval of injury and illness prevention program, IIPP. Ms. Hashmirza, our human resources director, will be presenting this item. Ms. Hashmirza.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, board members and colleagues. My name is Daria Hajmeza. I am the HR director for Magnolia Public Schools. And this morning you have in front of you the updated health and safety policy and injury and illness prevention plan, IIPP, COVID-19 addendum. This policy has been updated based on the provided by the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, the California Department of Public Health, CDPH, and several county public health officials. The board had approved MPS health and safety policy during August 6th and September 24, 2020 board meetings. And the IIPP plan was approved during the August 6th board meeting. And in accordance with the most updated health orders, the Home Office COVID-19 response team updated the policy. And the first one is the health and safety policy. Some of the changes in the policy include, as you'll see in front of you, is limited campus access. And based on this, non-parental visitors will not be allowed by appointment only. they must be peer registered in a visitor log and only be allowed to enter specific areas to conduct their business. The second one is, I'm sorry, wellness checks and temperature screening. The definition of close contact has been changed per CDC. So it's been 6 feet of an infected person for a cumulative, a total of 15 minutes or more over 24 hour period, starting from the 2 days before illness onset. And the campus screening for students, if a student has had a close contact with any individual who has screened positive for COVID-19 symptoms, the student will be taken to isolation room until he or she is picked up. Campus screening for staff and visitors, adult visitors and staff who have had close contact with any individual who had COVID-19 will be asked to go back home and follow the CDPH local guidance. Any student and staff member who developed any COVID-19 signs or symptoms will stay home, and then the school will follow up. Compliance task force and compliance officer is the next item that was updated in the policy. Compliance task force is responsible for establishing and enforcing all safety protocols, and compliance officer will act as a liaison between the local county public health and the school site in the event of any outbreak or any positive case. And the next section is testing and reporting. Consistent with California Safe Schools for All planned reopening and current California Department of Public Health guidance, both employees and students will be tested. And the testing will depend on local disease and trends and will be implemented on symptomatic response and asymptomatic basis. So if the school's county is in yellow and orange tier, symptomatic and response testing will be applied. And if the school's county is in the red or purple tier, symptomatic testing, response testing, and asymptomatic testing will be applied every 2 weeks. And if the school's county's case positivity rate is greater than 14 per 100 population per day, symptomatic testing, response testing, and asymptomatic testing for every week will be applied. And there's a student consent for testing based on the new guidance. And if the student is under the age of 12, parent or consent will be required. And if the student is between ages 13 and 17, there will be no parental consent required. So their own consent will be enough. And if the student's above the age of 18, no parental consent will be required. And for all vendors, they will be required to comply with the testing policy and all other policies by the MPS. And the next section is the exposure management planning and response to suspected or confirmed cases. The school will comply with the protocol for COVID-19 exposure management plan in K-12 school as put into effect by the LA County of Public Health. And in the event of notice of potential exposure, the school will take the following action. The school will provide a notice to all employees who were on the premises in the same work site within the infectious period, and they may have been exposed. And in the event of one or more confirmed COVID-19 cases, the school will provide notification to local public health department among any student or employee who was present at the school site within 14 days of symptoms. And in the event of cluster, three or more cases within 12 days, the school will contact local county public health official and work closely with the officials. And in the policy, based on the recent guidance, you know, we have the school criteria, school closure criteria, an outbreak has occurred in 25% or more stable groups at the school in a 14-day period. 3 outbreaks have occurred in 14-day period and 5% of school population. And the next item in the policy is cohort and stable groups. The school will implement the use of cohort and stable groups in person when we return in-person education services. And the definition of cohort is a stable group of no more than 14 children or youth and no more than 2 supervising adults in a supervised environment, and the children will stay together for all activities. And a stable group is defined as a group with fixed membership that stays together and does not mix with any other groups for any activities. And each cohort will be assigned a designated restroom. And in the event if they need to be required to use the same restroom, we will have color coding system to minimize the student and cohort interactions. Physical distancing for students, if there's in the event that 6 feet of physical distancing is not maintained, the school allow no less than 4 feet of physical distancing. And all youth sporting events, including tournaments and competitions, are not permitted at this time. And practice games among the same team are allowed for non-contact sports only. And use of face covering based on the recent guidance, all students over the age of 2 must wear a cloth covering while on campus except eating or drinking. A face shield may be an acceptable alternative for students who cannot wear a mask properly. And in the health and safety policy, we added COVID-19 vaccination. Pursuant to California Department of Public Health guidance, the school will strongly recommend that all persons eligible to receive the vaccine at the first opportunity. And beginning January 25, 2021, every campus shall notify the California Department of Public Health whether it is serving students in person, and the reporting must continue every other Monday. And it can be completed on the Safe School for All Hub. These were the updates on the health and safety policy. I apologize if I was fast. And then now moving on to the Injury and Illness Prevention Program, IAPP, COVID-19 addendum. This addendum has been adopted to accommodate reopening school for in-person instruction in accordance with the COVID-19 and reopening in-person instruction. And the most recent temporarily called OSHA regulation that was issued on November 30th, 2020. And based on this, the first section is conduct a workplace hazard assessment, evaluating places where the employees and others may congregate on campus, such as hallways, bathrooms, and break rooms, and encouraging employees to participate and assist the school in identifying and evaluating potential workplace hazards. The below actions will be taken if there are any suspected or confirmed COVID-19 cases according to Cal OSHA regulation. And the school will investigate the case, determine the day and the time the COVID-19 case was present, and give notice to potential exposure without revealing any personal identifying information. And all employees with COVID-19 who are exposed to COVID-19 will be excluded from the campus, and they will stay home for 14 days from the last known exposure to the case. And if we have confirmed COVID-19 cases, if they're symptomatic, they can return to school if they're fever-free for 24 hours. Without medication, and if their symptoms have improved and at least 10 days have passed since the symptoms first appeared. And if they're asymptomatic but tested positive, they will need to stay home for 10 days from the test day. And accordingly, the school will notify the local public health department of the confirmed case as required by law. And in the section in the IEPP plan, there's the AB 685, which was effective January 1st, 2021, that employers are required to provide certain notices in response to notice of potential exposure to COVID-19. So accordingly, in case there's a case, we will provide a written notice to all employees who were on the premises in the same workplace and provide all employees who may have been exposed with information regarding available COVID-19 related benefits, including and not limited to workers' compensation and any other state mandated leave. And the next section on the IEPP plan is the facial covering. Per California Department of Public Health, all persons has to wear a cloth face covering at work. And then cloth face coverings are not considered as PPE. They only help prevent the virus from spreading it to others. And engineering controls, the school will be conducting bi-monthly inspection of the HVAC system. And the next item is the COVID testing. Consistent with Cal OSHA regulations, in the event of one COVID-19 case, an outbreak or a major outbreak at school site, MPS will offer COVID-19 testing to employees at no cost. And consistent with current Cal OSHA regulation, the school requires certain frequencies of testing before allowing employees with the COVID-19 exposure to return to home. And the last one is the record keeping and availability of plan. The school will track all COVID-19 cases by keeping a record of the employee's name, contact information, location, location of the where employee has worked. And with that, those were all the updates in the health and safety policy and IAPP. And I'm open to any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hashmirza. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If there's no questions and comments, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? There are no further questions.
I have a question.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Look, some of the things is, as far as I know, CDC updated their close contact definition, et cetera, like December 16. Why is it taking us too long to update that? Is it because of California Public Health, or is it because of this law firm we are working? What is the reason? Like, we didn't do it back in December, but we are doing it now in February.
So, do you want me to answer, Alfred? I don't know. Yeah, so I mean, these, even though we did not update our health and safety policy, all the guidelines, as soon as we received, we were closely monitoring all the changes, and then we started implementing them as soon as we received them. So even though it wasn't updated, it was implemented when it was ordered.
So good morning, everyone, board members, Magnolia staff, and community. So thank you, Darius. So Dr. Dikpash, that's a great question. So every time the CDC does update their guidance, it does take the California Department of Public Health to update their guidance, and then also the local health authorities. So what we do is whenever there's a health officer order from the counties or the CDPH, we do implement those health officers' order and make sure that they're in effect at the schools. But in terms of including it in the policy, we do wait for the California Department of Public Health to make those changes, and then we officially come. If it's something that we could do without changing the policy, which means we implement it at the schools and wait for the policy, because the policy has these 20 components, and sometimes we have to kind of wait to see how other components, come out. For instance, the testing piece, what that looks like, then we kind of wait, but we still implement the health officer orders. But I think to your question, it is a combination of the CDC waiting for the California Department of Public Health to update their guidance. And then typically the local health officers also update their guidance based on the California Department of Public Health.
Very minor comment. I think in one of the items, a preposition is missing for use of face coverings. In the second one, there should be an in after working.
So, which page? I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that again? Sorry.
A preposition is missing. Face coverings in the second bullet item. Can a cubicle?
Okay, thank you for that. We'll make the changes. Thank you for reading the document, Dr. Dikbash. We'll make whatever grammatical mistakes we made. Thank you for pointing that out.
Alfredo, this is Covarrubias. Do we have enough supplies for our staff for the new policies of us wearing N95s?
That's a great question. Yes. So with the updated guidance, it was mostly more changes to the Cal OSHA document, the IIPP, but there were some changes in the health and safety. And we did check because we did place orders for the schools for a semester's worth in the N95 question. Since the governor and the emergency services team will be giving a supply of that, we did check to see how much we ordered in the first semester, and we do have enough for all staff to be given the N95 mask for the rest of the semester. But we still await the governor's shipment of that to us.
So I know that being that my family works in the medical field, I know they have like a testing site for masks where they literally go through masks to test them to make sure they're fitted. What are we going to do for that? I'm hoping not to waste those masks, but are we, because not everybody's the right size and not everybody wears the same size. That's what I meant. So what are we going to do?
Yeah, we don't necessarily have, a fortified system when it comes to that. I think what we did is we did have the school sites order the mask with the home office. And I think they all gauged different size of masks for students and staff. I'm not certain the process we went through, but I do know that we did rely on the principals. But I think once we start bringing kids and staff onto campus, the expectation is that we did order enough because the state also provided 2 months worth of equipment for us on top of what we ordered. But I think once we do get that, I would like to see if you could guide me on how that is done, because if that is done systemically and it's something we could incorporate into our system, that would be great. But as of this moment, we don't have a system like that extensive. So I look forward to learning more about how that's done so we could incorporate it at our schools.
Okay, I'll work to get that information done and as to how it works and try to make it to find a universal size, because there's a certain mask size that most people use. That way we're not wasting so many. So that way we're making sure that everybody's really protected.
That's great. Thank you, Sandra. Appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you.
Is there any further questions or comments from the members of our board? If not, then I'll state the motion. So the motion is for the board to approve the updated health and safety policy and IIPP COVID-19. Would a board member like to move this motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Mikan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpinel?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbush? Dr. Dikbush? Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll say it once more. Dr. Dikbush?
Dr. Dikbush just sent a message. Yes.
I see it. Thank you for that, Dr. Dikbush. So the motion carries with a unanimous vote. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to 2B, authorization for CO to commence applications for grant under Safe Schools for All plan and submit COVID-19 safety plan CSP for all MPS. This item will be presented by Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent. Mr. Rubalcaba?
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. So again, good morning to everyone. So as all of you know, Governor Newsom did propose a Safe Schools for All plan. He came out with the news between winter break and New Year's, December 30th. And basically what the plan does, it incentivizes LEAs, local education agencies, to open up for in-person learning, specifically TK through 6, and also mandates that specific things are done in order to open, such as providing testing to students and staff on a weekly basis. So with this plan, it's a proposal. What happened is after he proposed it, then documentation did come out and they created a school hub, Safe Schools for All hub, where it talks about vaccination, it talks about testing, it talks about what LEA would need to do in order to get started. And then it also gives each LEA that does open up in person, it gives them funding, right? And with the funding, there's a timeline of when schools should reopen. So for example, some LEAs, because it doesn't apply to all, meaning that all could meet the timeline. If you were ready to open by February 16th, you would have to submit what they call a COVID safety plan. And a COVID safety plan consists of two things. The first thing would be what they call a COVID-19 checklist, where you kind of go down through that checklist and indicate what items you need to do at the school site. That's towards the bottom there. These are the checklists that we would need to complete for all schools. And the other item that's required for the CSP would be the what they call the IIPP plan, which all of you just approved. That plan has been updated with Cal OSHA emergency guidance, which requires also a COVID-19 protection plan. The good thing is we've already had this IIPP plan in place. It just requires us to update the IIPP plan, which Daria just gave you an overview of that, kind of what that looks like. So these two documents would have to be provided to three agencies, which would be the Safe Schools for All team, the local health officer, and also the County Office of Education. Obviously, we have three County Office of Educations, we have three local health officers, but we would submit to the state Safe School for All team. So that we would have to do by the first, February 1st, and then open up our schools, TK through second, February 16th. If everything went well, which is expected, then we would be able to open up March 15th, third through sixth grade. All of this is contingent on meeting the health, the health parameters as indicated in this blueprint for safer economy, which means we would have to have less than 25 cases per 100 K of people in the state of California. Currently, for our counties, we're over 46. So LA is about 48, Orange County is 46, and then San Diego is 49. So we would have to be under the 25K per 100 to be able to open up. So that would be one way of doing it. And again, you would have to submit by the first, be able to collect some of the funding. Again, the funding would be from $450 to about $700, depending on your high risk needs, how many we have at each LEA. And then the other, if you are not ready to submit by February 1st, you could submit the CSP plan, the COVID safety plan. You could submit that March 1st and then open up March 15th. So with the March 15th opening, it would be applicable to TK through 6. So then you would be able to open up TK through 6. So in our case, we would be able to open up Santa Ana, MSA Santa Ana Elementary, and then MSA 7 as well, our TK through 5 school. So that's what we could do under that plan. Same parameters, everything's the same in terms of what you need to submit, what you need to do. And then the only difference is you would receive less money if you submitted the plan March 1st and then started school March 15th. You would receive $337 to about $600, again, depending on your high need students. So with that, this proposal, again, from the onset, quite a bit of pushback. And another thing I want to mention is besides submitting those plans, you would have to put it on your website. You would also also have to indicate that every student has, that's doing distance learning currently is connected to a device, is connected to the internet. That would be an assurance or certification you would have to submit. So in essence, the proposal caused quite a ruckus across many different fronts. So it did have to go, it does have to go through a legislative process, which means both the state Senate and the Assembly have to approve this plan and include it as a kind of fast track action. That way LEAs could receive funding within 30 days of submitting the plans, right? So what happened is from the superintendents across the urban districts, even including ourselves, other charter leaders, the pushback was you're asking us to do too many things in such a quick time, although we're confident that we have many of these systems in place because we've been doing this for a while now since the pandemic hit, but still it's a lot to ask for. So in our case, I think the biggest roadblock would be we're still kind of in negotiations with the COVID testing providers. And then the other piece is vaccinating all employees, which vaccination wasn't explicitly called out in the plan, but it did have information on the hub. So those are two logistical things that weren't mentioned. So we also were part of that pushback to say, yes, there still needs to be some modifications. Not only LEA superintendents, including charters, including us, but also the Association of School Administrators, different teacher groups across the state also pushed back. So what happened is, the consensus was, okay, they're going to revise the plan, but we're not sure if they're going to revise it by February 1st. It's going to take more time. Indications are that it will probably take us maybe 2 weeks from February 1st to February 15th. But again, people can't really say. So what was communicated and the best approach for us is to submit something. So it would be to submit the CSP plan to the three state agencies if allowed to do so, because we have till the end of the day to figure out whether they're going to accept the plan, revise it. So hopefully that comes by today, 5 p.m. So the best approach for us is to submit the plan to the three state agencies, also post it on our website and communicate with the county on some of the other mandates around kids being connected to devices and to the internet, and then wait to see what happens. Because with us, we do know that paying for testing is going to cost quite a bit. Right now, testing alone, is estimated to be about 55 per test, right? So if you're talking about, quite a few students, 3,863 students, tested, then that would cost us quite a bit of money. So we want to wait to see how that looks and get the money to be able to pay for that. So two things I forgot to mention is that with the 7th through 12th grade, those students, our students in 7th through 12th grade, they would be able to come in person. They would be able to do that once the case rate was under 7 cases per 100. Obviously, we're at the 40s, upper 40s, so it might take a while for us to get there. But the way this incentive work is, if we did open up for high school, let's say in May, we would still be eligible for the funds and we could use the funds. And the funds could be used in 5 different ways. So the funds could be used to, you know, pay classified certificated staff to provide in-person instruction, TK through 12. It could also be used to provide mental health supports for those students that need it in person. It also allows for you to purchase more PPE if needed to implement some of these new health practices. Number 4 would be ventilation. So if you needed to upgrade the ventilation, and then the 5th one escapes my mind because I haven't had my coffee, but it does focus again on in-person, you know, making sure that all of this funding goes for in-person activities. So with that, we have to be proactive, submit our plans. And the good thing about, let's say the governor does not, the legislature does not approve this plan as proposed by the governor, then by us submitting today, it still allows us to hear from the state safe schools teams and tell us if our plan is obviously whole, if it has all the components, is it missing something? So it's kind of an opportunity for us to give us feedback, right? So most likely my sense would be that the governor and the legislature will come to an agreement. And I think the deadline will be pushed to March 1st. And then we would be allowed to submit this. So how ours looks as of now, without the information that's still waiting, we do state on all of our checklists that we would open March 15th, TK through sixth grade across Magnolia campuses on March 15th. And then for 7th through 12th grade, we would open once it becomes safe to do so, which again, under 7 cases per 100K. So that's what our checklists currently look like. We will await throughout the day to see if that changes or we need to add any information. And then we would submit this to the different state agencies, again, just to make sure that we do not lose out on any funding in case the legislature does agree with the governor, which is highly unlikely, and still keeps the February 1st deadline. So what I'm asking is the board to give me the authority and the staff the authority to submit these plans today. And to post it on the website and follow all other requirements in order for us to obviously get the funding to be able to implement all these different things. Thank you, and I'm open to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no questions and comments from the public. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Okay, if there's no questions and comments, I'm going to read the motion. So the motion for this item is for the board to approve and grant the CEO the authority to commence applications for in-person instruction grant and to submit the COVID-19 safety plan, CSP, for all Magnolia Public Schools by February 1st, 2021, as a requirement before applying for funding to the Governor's Safe Schools for All plan. With that being said, would a board member like to move this motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi. Is there a second?
This is Umik, second.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush.
Dr. Yapanel.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Yapanel. Dr.
Yapanel. I got the quote.
I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. Dr. Dickbush?
In the audio, Dr. Dikpash does say yes. Just for the record, this is Alfredo.
Thank you, Dr. Dikpash, for your yes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov? Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. So the motion carries with a unanimous vote. So next on the agenda, we'll move on to 2C, approval of PPP loan forgiveness application. This will be presented by Mr. Orzov, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Orzov?
Yes, thank you, Jen. Good morning, everyone. So as you may remember, we applied for a Paycheck Protection Program back in, I believe it was April, and it was brought in front of the board. There were lengthy discussions about whether or not to apply for this program, eligibility, and the rest. I think we discussed this extensively on April 23rd, and then later on, ratification was provided with additional guidelines in terms of why we need to apply for this program. And as you may remember at that time, there is an opportunity for us to apply for forgiveness for this program. The total loan amount that we received from the Small Business Administration as part of this program is $5.4 million with changes. And at the moment, we're considering entertaining the idea of actually applying for forgiveness for the program. There are three criteria under SBA description that will make applicants eligible for forgiveness. The employees and compensation level, the first one is the employees and compensation levels are expected to be maintained. The second one, the loan proceeds are spent on payroll costs and other eligible expenses. And the last one, at least 60% of the proceeds are spent on payroll costs. So we're meeting all these three criteria. Of course, there are still chances that we're not going to get approved because of some other political discussions going on around charter schools benefiting from this program. But so far, there's no anything that specifically identifies, charter schools being ineligible for this program. So I think at this point, we're asking the board to approve the resolution to approve for the forgiveness of this loan program as part of the SBA guidance. Again, the amount is $5.4 million. We're meeting all the eligibility criteria. Under the program, so it makes us eligible. We are working on it with the Citibank and our back office provider, DMS. But before submitting the application, we're bringing it in front of you so that you can ask any questions you might have, and we can get your blessing before we submit for application.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If there's no questions and comments, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yes, this is Mikhan. Is this on first come first basis, or when do we expect to hear back from the SBA regarding the forgiveness?
That's a great question, Mikhan. Thank you for asking that. So it's not first come first serve basis. It is based on eligibility. Once you're eligible, you're going to get the forgiveness. And as you may know, the banks, different financial institutions are processors for this loan. And it depends on, I think, the who you're working with. Currently, I think that we're working with Citibank. And it depends, really. We don't have enough information in terms of what the timeline in terms of getting approved. But in terms of, I think getting that as soon as possible, it is important that we apply as soon as we can as well. So I can't necessarily give you a timeline in terms of how soon we can get approved.
Okay. Thank you.
So Dar, if we're not legible, when would we start having to pay this loan back? And is it... do we have a breakdown as to how much each school would have to give?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question, Sandra. So the coverage period ended for us October 7th. You have 10 months from October 7th to apply for forgiveness and get it approved. If you're not approved, then at that point, you'll have to start paying back the loan with interest. But we have enough time to kind of submit the application and see if whether or not we're approved. And I don't have it in front of this in front of you in this document, but I can definitely provide you the breakdown for the schools.
Okay, it is, thank you.
Yes, thank you. It is based on the payroll cost, and the bigger schools obviously will have a bigger chunk, and the smaller schools will correspondingly will have a smaller chunk of the loan.
But it won't be. It's doable. It's not going to affect the schools as much.
You mean paying it back?
Yes.
Yeah, we should be able to pay it back because, you know, we, if you remember, we've been, we actually have some cash flow issues. As you may remember, 33% of our the cash flow revenue was deferred to 2022. And we were expecting even more cash flow deferrals in early 22 as well, but luckily because of economic developments and that's in the state, we were able to, I think, as of right now as it stands, based on the government's budget announcement early January, we were not going to see the deferrals in 2022. So, you know, by the time it will be by the time we'll have to pay it back, I think our financial situation in terms of the cash flow, not the revenue or expenses, will recover and we'll be able to pay it back. But it is, I think, important that it was a good move to apply for the loan because of all the cash flow deferrals we've been facing. Again, it's more than 33% or about 33% of cash flows for 2021 was in fact deferred to 2022.
Okay, and so have they given us a time frame as to how many years or how much time we have to pay them back?
I can double check on that, but as far as I remember, we have to pay back within 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any further questions or comments from the members of our board?
Can I just ask, since we're applying for forgiveness, do we have any idea on what criteria they will decide to forgive or not forgive, or, you know?
Yeah. Are you done?
Yeah,
thank you. That's a good question. So there are three main criteria that makes you eligible or ineligible. Those are, as I mentioned, you have to maintain your employee count and the compensation levels at the levels that prior to COVID-19, you're comparing it to prior to COVID-19 period. And that's one criteria. The next criteria is you have to spend the loan proceeds for payroll cost, and there are other eligible, expense categories like rent expense or utilities or mortgage expense. And the third one, you have to spend in at least 60% of it for payroll cost, meaning you can spend the rest of it for other things that there are other eligible expenses like mortgage, utilities and rent and so on. But at least 60% of the loan should be spent for payroll costs and nothing else. So those are the main criteria that the SBA identified to become eligible for forgiveness. And then there is, in terms of looking at the numbers, you can go with 8 weeks period, or you can opt to go with 24 week period. Initially, it was only eight week, but later on, Small Business Administration provided additional guideline to extending that period to 24 weeks.
I didn't hear a portion of what you were saying, but it just seems pretty lockstep that these three criteria, which are right in front of us, are the main criteria. It just seems like there should be other criteria. Suspicious. Are there other criteria? I guess you're saying there are not. That it's pretty pro forma. That is, if we've done those three things, we should expect that we will be given the loan forgiveness.
Yeah, so I just copied these criteria from the Small Business Administration's website, and to date, I'm not aware of any additional, you know, requirements as to get approved for this loan. Of course, there are some discussions specifically on charter schools, whether or not they should have applied and get benefit from the forgiveness. But other than that, in terms of the criteria, eligibility criteria, I'm not aware of anything else other than these three main categories.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any further questions or comments from the members of our board? If not, I'll go ahead and read the motion. So the motion is for the board to approve the application for payroll protection program forgiveness for Magnolia Public Schools. Would a board member like to move this motion?
I'll make the motion, Ikhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. I will now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Dickbusch?
Yes, he's indicating yes.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbusch. For minutes purposes, Dr. Dickbusch said yes on the chat. Ms. Covarrubias?
Absolutely.
Abstain.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. So the motion carries with 4 yeses and 1 abstaining. All right. Thank you, everyone. So that concludes the end of our action items. So with that being said, Rabbi Beliak, may you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 7:54 a.m.
Thank you all for your patience and your willingness to get here so early, and wish you a good day. Stay safe out there, please. We're adjourned.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. You appreciate too. It. Bye. Take care. Have a good day.
Thank you.